time. I'm going to read Proverbs 1 down to verse 4. We're going to be in verse 4 is where we're going to park today, but I'm going to read just so we can be up to speed with context. And before I do, let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. God, I thank you that we can gather together today. I thank you for the ability. Thank you for the facility that we have to meet in inclement weather, and we can worship you. And God, we just praise you for all these things. But more than that, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the word became flesh. And we just ask you to speak to us through it this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Here we see Proverbs 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. And here's where we're going to look today. And he says, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Our last lesson, I think we spent 90% of our lesson looking at subtlety. And I can't even remember if that was in Sunday school or if it was on the evening service. But I know at the end, we kind of briefed, and some of this stuff that we'll look at this morning, we've already kind of went over, but we were rushing at the end of our lesson. So notice to whom subtlety is directed. We see here that it's given to those who need it the most. It's given to those who are what? What's the scripture say? Those who are simple. I got to thinking about this, and I would be willing to bet that we have all heard the expression that someone is simple, right? Some of us may even said that, oh, he's simple. And in today's terms, what does that mean? That means that someone's not very intelligent. Or some may go as far as saying that a simple person is someone who that is maybe mentally challenged, right? Or someone that has a learning disability. That may be our first impression of this word or the word simple, but that's not the word that's not the definition for this word that we find here in verse 4. The word simple here in our text indicates someone who is open-minded or someone who is open-hearted or what we would call someone who is naive. Anybody in here ever been naive to things? What usually breaks you of that? Come on, y'all help me out. Look, we're in Sunday school. We're not, I know we're recording it, so if y'all have a question, they won't be able to hear it. But we do have a little bit of liberty here to discuss some of these things. And what breaks us? Or if you were to reflect back in your life, what has broken you from being so naive? Experience. Being what? Burned. Right? And I was listening to a message a while ago on the way here, and it was dealing with young folk. And we're going to see as we go through this passage, he's going to deal with young folk. And most of the time, young folks are naive. Why? Because they don't have that experience. And we'll get to that when we look at this word knowledge, because that's what this is. It's a experimental knowledge or a knowledge that's gained by experience. I do construction work, and there's times when I come across stuff that I have to admit that I'm forced to do things that I don't know how to do. And you know what I have to do? I have to experiment. I have to figure it out. I have to work my way through it. And sometimes I allow people to get me in a jam to do things, and Brother Britt can probably testify of this, and others, they say, you know, people kind of force you and put you in this corner where you have to work your way out of it. And sometimes I'm thankful for that. Why? Because I learn new things by doing that. But I also know my limitations. And throughout experience, sometimes people try and get me to do things I really don't know how to do. I say, hold up. I prefer you get somebody else to do it. Why? I don't want to burn myself, and I don't want to burn you. So we see, and as I was listening to this message, that's where I was going with this. It was dealing with young folks. You know what young people need to be? They need to be guarded. They don't know. They think they do. Right? How many of us can reflect back when we were teenagers? You know what they need? They need us to tell them what to do. Honestly. Why? Because they don't have the experience. Now they may think they do. We need to choose for them the things that they wear. Now I'm not picking on. I'm glad we got a young audience in here this morning in our Sunday school class. We need to tell them what to wear. Why? They don't know what to wear. We need to tell them where they can go. Right? Come on, y'all, help me out. Why? Because in their lack of experience, in the fact that they're simple, in the fact that they're naive, they don't see all the dangers. They don't see all the pitfalls. You know what we need to do? We need to guard them. We need to tell them who they can be friends with. And that's what that message was dealing with, and it was all out of the book of Proverbs about teaching your family. And the thing is the reason we need to tell them who to be friends with is because they are naive in the sense that they believe everybody will be their friend and will be beneficial to them. And I can testify by experience, you get to running with the wrong people, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get in trouble. How many of y'all would testify of that? Well, that's off the lesson, but it is with the lesson. And we're looking at this word here. You know, we must realize that just because someone is naive or simple, that does not automatically mean that they have trouble learning. To differentiate our idea, and we got to take that in consideration that we do, dealing with our sons and our daughters and those that we teach, those that are young in the faith, we do need to give them enough liberty, but yet with protection, we need to allow them to make choices. Why? So that they can get this experience. We can't shield them so much so, and we'll find that out as we go through this. You ever seen somebody that's been so shielded and then all of a sudden they get freedom and what happens? They go crazy, right? Now, I'm not to say that we're to allow and we have to pray and teach and instruct. I think that's so beneficial because if we don't, you know, those who are simple or external expressions, think back. I'm forced to think back when I was a teenager. How easy was it to let my surroundings impress me to do things that I normally wouldn't do? And how easily back then. Now, hey, look, I can't say that I'm beyond all this now. Y'all have that problem where I still allow put an impression on me. But those that are simple are those that are easily misled. Can you remember back how easy about Brother Jimmy? I hear some of the stories he's telling. Glory in his past. But it's like all you'd have to do is dare him to do something, and there it was. It set the stage, right? Some of us have been like that. I was like that. It could be something so foolish. The consequences could be detrimental, yet because there was a challenge there, you were caution in the wind. Why? Because you were simple. Not thinking logic. When we think of seeing that they are suckers, you know, because there are suckers in this world, right? It means that they will believe anything at such experience with the reality that this world is full. Y'all realize this world's full of is a lie in itself. And if we're not careful, if we're naive, we will easily buy into the lie. That's why it's so important for us to teach the kids what? In the book of Proverbs, Psalms, throughout the New Testament, teaches us doctrine and practice and study these things so that we can prepare things and that we can make. We just go based upon our feelings. We're going to find that we make grave mistakes. All of us in here, if we were to be honest, we'd have to say that at one point in our life, we were also sinful. We may even have to confess that even find ourselves being naive from time to time. You still have a tendency to be naive. Trust in your feet. How many of us can honestly say that as if we are in enemy territory? Now think about this. It's easy for us to see this about our daily walk as adults. How many of us really live as if we're in enemy territory? Now, we're naive in the sense to say that, oh, well, we're really not, or we are. Where are we at? Satan is. Where have been going through the book of Colossians? Positionally, where are we at? According to the Scriptures. We're seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. But practically, where are we at? We're in this world. Jesus said he wasn't of this world. If he is of this world, he'd fight. And the thing is we're in enemy territory, but we don't live that way. We don't think that way. Why? Because we're naive. We think we can get through without being affected. How many of us can say with conviction that we take every thought captive and that we never give in to the sensual desires of our flesh? No. Why do we not take every thought captive? Because we have a tendency to believe with simplicity or naiveness that we're all right, that we can make it. You see what I'm saying? What happens is it's easy for us to see faults in others, but if we start looking and really self-examining our own lives, we can find that we're still naive to a lot of things. We still think we're okay. And the thing is I'm going to tell you what, if God was to take His hand off of us, you know where we'd be? We need guidance. We need that same fence or that same hedge of protection that our young ones need. We need as well, because if God was just to remove one hedge, there's no telling what would happen to us. You know, I'd have to say that none of us could say that we're always vigilant and that we're never naive enough to trust in our own feelings, that we fall into this category of being simple. And what we do is we fall into the temptation of overly trusting in ourselves. We do. And not only overly trusting in ourselves, but we also fall into the temptation of placing too much trust in others. You know, because that's part of being naive. Being naive is that you trust people and that you're gullible and that you set yourself up. Why? Because a lot of times, you know, generally who I would say are the most naive are people who are generally innocent. Now, I understand that none of us are innocent, but people with pure thoughts and pure motives are not looking out for the evil, right? I noticed one thing. You know, I've been around thieves before, and you know what thieves do? They lock everything they got up. They do. I'm telling you. I've been around some people that I've known that were thieves. They'd rob you blind. And you know what? They would not go anywhere without locking everything they had up. Why? Because they thought like a thief. They wasn't worried about... I mean, they were worried about everybody stealing from them. Why? Because they was always going around stealing from everybody else. And usually, people that are not thinking like that, you know, they'd leave their stuff out everywhere. They're not worried about it. Why? Because they're not thinking that way. And the thing is, you know, we will find that the innocent are those that are lacking experience with being burnt, are those that will set themselves up to be taken advantage of. And the thing is we got to understand that we can't trust in ourselves, and we can't put too much trust in others. Any of y'all ever been burnt by people? What about people in the church? Come on, well, I mean, reality is people are people. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm thankful for faithful brethren. I am. But at the same time, my hope is not in them. And the reason is because I know, according to the scriptures and according to experience in the flesh. You know, as I've been saved, I think it might be 18 years, not that long. But seen some things that at first confess that so-called Christians, and I think some were genuinely saved folks, I've seen some things that they've done that really let me down, that hurt me, offended me. But as time has worn faults, I'm not so naive. Someone is saved. Paul, we could look at the scriptures. We've been studying. David was a man after God's own heart. What lied? He cheated. That ought to tell us if he was capable. So we can't put over trust, man, because if we do, it's up for failure. See, the Apostle Paul said this. Turn right quick to the book of Romans. The book beginning in paper, because Romans in my Bible, 18, Paul says this. For I know that in me, in naive, we're talking about putting confidence, what? In ourselves and placing confidence. Say that from time to time, Steve, come on, be honest. Us would be, was it would really hurt you. I'd say me. But admit, and we realize, given to like passions, right? We must understand that have been so affected by their, that they defected, that they withdrew. There's been people in the church that have been, that is offended, it's what, harder to, now we gotta be careful not to fall, it would cause us to have us. We gotta understand, what's Paul saying? Know that in me, this is what Paul, flesh dwelleth no good. But I think of the apostle, understand that the apostle Paul, if we were to read issues that we have. Now, I'm thankful for a man of God. I'm thankful that God has given us a pastor that tries and by the standard. But we got to understand that he struggles. We can't bank on him. We have to bank on the Lord. Why? Because us. He will not fail us. And if we're naive enough to put him in or in our flesh, Paul says this. He says, good, I find not. He's telling, struggling. My flesh is getting, have a desire, fire come to fruition. He said, I'm having good that I wish I could, which I would not. That's what I end up doing. I can testify to that. Now, I'm just going to go with the flow. Now, how many of us would have to say from time to time, that's how we live, though?
Right.
We just give in. We're simple in the sense that we allow our flesh to deceive us. Because we can find ourselves being naive to our own self. Allowing, okay, well, I'm facing this decision. I can't even remember now, but I did hear a sermon about making decisions and how many decisions we make in a day. And if we were to think about all that, it would blow our mind. And there's decisions that we have to make that sometimes we don't have answers to. Right? Can some of y'all testify that? But you know what we are to do? We are to give it to God. In a sense of saying, God, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure which road to take. But I'm not naive enough to trust in my own decisions. So what I'm going to do, God, I'm going to lay these things out before you. And I'm going to pray you would close off the doors I shouldn't go in. And you're going to open the ones that I can't. You know what God's going to, personally, you know what I think God will do? I think he'll honor the fact that we admit that we don't know what we're doing. Right? And that he will guide, even though we may take advances and sometimes we may go the wrong way. I'm thankful that he reorders our steps. He directs our paths. Because we have a tendency to go the wrong way. It's when we give in and we're naive and we don't fight this like a young one that just goes looking at all the glitz and glamour. When we find ourselves making wrong decisions, that's when we find ourselves spiraling down the slopes of. Now, if I do that I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Good. Evil is present. That he realized he was robed in. And if he was, then we can automatically assume that we are too. Right? We can conclude. We can finalize that and say, we are too. He says, for after the inward man, but I see another law of sin, which is in my members. There was a battle raging here. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who from the body of this death, Christ our Lord. He didn't wake up. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go with the flow today and hopefully everything works. He mortified his flesh daily. He brought his thoughts into captivity daily, hourly. He trusted that God would deliver him. He says here, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The Apostle Paul realized that there was no good in him. Yet at one time, you know what he thought? He thought he was doing God's service. You know, at one time he was naive. In the sense that he thought he was doing God's service by doing what? By trying to destroy the ecclesia. Those that God was doing a work in. He was set out to destroy Christ. You know, Paul was once blinded. But the grace of God revealed to him his deceit or the deceitfulness of sin that was in him. And what God did is God called him from darkness and called him into the marvelous light. Have you ever stopped and thought about how easy it is for us to be deceived? Now, we're talking about being simple. Have you ever thought about how natural it is for us to be deceived? How that we have that, what they say, bent, that natural tendency to veer to deception? I mean, any of y'all ever been looking on Craigslist or what have you? Brother Dustin, your wife's grinning over there. And you see something that seems too good to be true and you got to check it out. Huh? Like, man, this is the deal of a century. But at the same time, you have a little bit of reserve saying this might be a scam. But at the same time, you still want to venture off into it. We got to be careful because we do have a tendency. You know, and I think I said this in our last lesson, sometimes it seems to me, now, if we really think about this, it seems to me that it is as if sometimes we're actually longing to be lied to. You know, that's our sin nature. It is. It wants to believe the lie. Think about it. Why? How many of us realize, now honestly, we realize that the things of this world cannot satisfy us? I want to see a show of hands. How many of us know that intellectually? But yet, how many of us still buy into the lie that somehow or another they will? We hope against hope. In other words, if I just get a new whatever it might be, shotgun, fishing pole, dress, purse, drill, toolbox, boat, truck, dozer. I mean, we could just go around. There's a tendency, and we can make light of this, but there's a tendency for us to think that, and it does. It does have a temporal fulfillment, does it not? Y'all remember Christmas time when you were young? How joyous you were to get all the junk that wouldn't even make it a year most of the time. And most of kids nowadays, they get stuff and man, they can't even make it home from town before it breaks, right? But it gives them a sense of, we buy into that lie. Sometimes I think we long to buy into that lie. We long to have something that we think will fulfill us. That's the only way I can explain it, because we know it can't happen intellectually, yet we still from time to time buy into it. We're still from time to time where we still are naive and we still buy into those things. And what we got to realize is that this is part of our sin nature. This is part of the curse. Turn right quick. We only got a couple minutes. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. And I don't think we went here last time. I asked y'all to read it, and that's why I kind of backtracked a little bit, because we did just brief over this because it was at the end of our lesson. But we're talking about being simple. We're talking about simplicity and being naive. And I say we need to look at an example. Here we have an example of someone who was simple and naive to the deception that was laid out before them. Genesis chapter 3. The scripture says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now we learned, and we're going through this, that subtlety means to be what? It carries with it the idea of nakedness. Y'all remember that? Not in a sense of perversion, but in a sense of not having something to cling on to or own you that would easily be hung up or caught. Right? Any of y'all ever watched the cartoon The Incredibles? The kids had it. Remember when they went to go get what one of them wanted? A cape, right? I remember that. It just came to my mind. And the little funny lady that was making the costume said, don't get a cape. Why? Come on, y'all, help me out. Getting caught in something and kill you. One of them got sucked into a jet or a turban or something. That's the idea. Get the mental picture. Something that could be easily hung up and catch you or cause you to be caught. That's what that word subtle, he says to give subtlety, in other words, smoothness to who? Those that are naive. To give a smoothness to those that are simple, those that are prone to get caught. He said, you need to teach them, instruct them so that they're smooth, so they can slide right through without getting hung up with the things of the world. Now, looking at this word subtlety in the negative, what does it say? It says that the serpent was more subtle, right? In other words, he was what? Smooth. He was slick. He was deceptive. Not in the sense of using it for good, but is in a sense of using it for the negative. He says he was the most or more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know, in that day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired, and make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In other words, she was deceived. You know what Satan did? He used the same tactics that he's always used. We see here the blueprint for these tactics. We looked, last time we studied this lesson, we looked at the temptation that he did when Christ was in the wilderness. Remember? He used the same tactics. He doesn't have to change his tactics. Why? They still work. Now, they didn't work on Christ, but they worked on Eve, and they'll work on us. Here we have an account of how that Eve would easily fit the description of someone who is simple. We find here that she was definitely naive and had no clue that she was being played by the serpent. She had no reason to be on guard. Why? She was in a perfect environment, right? And if she was in a perfect environment, and there was no sin, and she was deceived, boy, you know what we ought to do? We ought to put the guards up. Because we're not in a perfect environment. Everything we face that is not based upon the Word of God is drawing at us, calling at us, pulling on us. You know that word deceit in the New Testament, it carries with it the idea, and I think this is a perfect illustration, of a fish hook. Think about that. How deceptive a fish hook is. Remember what Satan did? Whenever he brought, same thing he did here, he tempted in a sense of Christ, his natural desire, his desire to eat. And what did he do? He said, if you be the Son of God, turn this stone into what? Into bread. Now think about a fish hook. Taking something that a fish most desires, its natural desire, and then weaving that thing, say a worm, that's what I envision when I think of a fish hook, a worm. Threading that worm on that hook, leaving enough tail off so that thing's still moving, it looks as natural as can be, all of a sudden that fish bites, and what happens? He's caught. He's done. He's captured. And the thing is we got to understand that this world and this world system is trying to lure us in at every angle. We said it last in our last lesson, that companies, because we live in a consumer-based or consumer-driven economy, companies spend multitudes of their money. I mean, billions and billions and billions of dollars are invested on trying to figure out how to get us to buy something. Y'all realize that? So when you're watching TV at 2 o'clock in the morning and Wendy's comes on flashing the sign saying that they open all night, 24 hours, and you sitting there about to starve to death and ain't nothing in the house. You know, they do that in order for you to get up, drive down there and go get a hamburger. And it works. If it didn't work, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't invest. And that's just one thing. But think about all the other things that they that are pulling at us and drawing us. And we got to be subtle. We can't be naive. Now, we can expect our kids to be that way. Why? We said earlier, they don't have that experience. But you know what? We should. We should be to the place that where we realize that we can't trust in our flesh. We have enough biblical examples. These things were written aforetime. He read it this morning. These things were written for our learning, that we can look at these things, the things about David. You know, God could have left that out about David if he so chose to. He could have kept ahead, but those things have a purpose and a plan. And what we can do is we could study those things. And by studying those things, it can give us the proper perspective. And by doing so, we can set up safeguards in our own life to protect us from the same pitfalls. And I know all of us want to do that for our children, right? But we need to do it for ourselves. And the only way to do that is we have to stay in God's Word. This is the only safeguard that we have. It's by, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? How? Taking heed to what? To the Word of God. Any questions or comments? We got to close. Let's pray. Father,